Hello everyone. So here's the conclusion of all my giftings. I thought of last night and I said, okay, there's a little bit more I need to say so I can move forward. I've been called to be a rehabilitation assistant, and here will be my job description. I will work closely with physical and occupational therapists to help patients recover from injury and illness. I'll be helping with rehabilitation and treatment. I'll be participating in patient treatment by demonstrating exercises and helping the patients perform them. I'll also ensure any equipment used is set up for those particular patients and adjust it if needed. In addition, I may help transport patients from their rooms or from the waiting area to the treatment areas. I'll be monitoring patient progress. So during the rehab treatment, I'll work closely in terms of monitoring how well the patients respond to therapy and know any issues they have. I'll document what I see to share with the physical therapist and other treatment team members to help them more effectively address the patient's conditions and needs. I'll be providing patient education. Patients and their families often have questions about treatment plans, specific exercises, and what to expect after therapy. I will often sit down with patients and their families to explain how the process works and how they should care for themselves or their family members when they return home. I'll be supervising other employees. At some facilities, I'll be managing other staff members. This might include rehabilitation technicians or other support staff on either the physical therapy or administrative side of the team. I'll be performing administrative duties. In addition to answering phones or assisting with other clerical tasks, I'll also update patient files and records. In certain cases, I'll be working in and outpatient rehab facilities. I may also schedule follow-up appointments for patients, and I'll call to remind them of their appointment times. I'll be assisting with housekeeping. I may perform cleaning duties such as washing patient linens or bedding. I'll also clean and disinfect physical therapy equipment and exercise rehab and treatment areas, which means I have physical strength. So patients receiving physical therapy may have mobility challenges, and I have the physical strength, dexterity, and endurance needed to move and position them. I have the medical knowledge to better help my patients. I have the in-depth understanding of human anatomy needed, as well as various medical conditions and treatments. I have the safety knowledge. I will sometimes use chemicals or handle heavy equipment, and I may come in contact with infectious diseases, but I have all the protective gear. I have all the medical protections that I'll be using to keep myself from getting sick. I have the empathy. I will be working with patients experiencing pain and discomfort and who may have difficulty communicating. I will use my compassion and my patience to make the rehab process easier for my patients. And I do have the leadership skills. I may also sometimes train new employees, and I may even lead classes for new hires and students. I work alongside physical therapists, sometimes aid other rehabilitation professionals such as occupational and vocational therapists. I'll be working a physically demanding job that requires my strength and my stamina in addition to my patience and my outstanding people skills. I'm going to get the formal training and licensing needed. I see myself doing suicide prevention. Suicide prevention is a collection of efforts to reduce the risk of suicide. Suicide is often preventable, and the efforts to prevent it may occur at the individual, relationship, community, and society levels. So I will definitely be making sure that people don't kill themselves. I may have to rescue people from jumping out of buildings, jumping off of architecture, and I have to keep people from leaping out of windows. I have to keep people from, I have to take the rope so people won't hang themselves. I have to keep deadly weapons from people so they won't use them on themselves. I have to keep people from being by themselves. Some people, if they're by themselves, they're going to kill themselves. I have to keep people from being with other people because, you know, the suicide notes. I have to destroy suicide notes before they get a chance to fully write them. And I have to convince people not to kill themselves. Suicide is a serious public health problem that can have long-lasting effects on individuals, families, and communities. Preventing suicide requires strategies at all levels of society. This includes prevention and protective strategies for individuals, families, and communities. Suicide can be prevented by learning the warning signs, promoting prevention and resilience, and committing to social change. I do acknowledge, honestly speaking, that when it comes to my childhood, being in the crime world, I saw a lot of suicide, hanging, murder, suicides, people using deadly weapons such as guns, knives, cigarette matches, cigarette lighters on themselves, and they firebombed themselves with Molotov cocktails. So they would suicide bomb themselves. I saw a lot of it. I was also able to prevent a lot of suicide. When people would try to firebomb themselves, I would grab them and have us run out of, run away from the firebomb area into safety. So when it blew up, it would blow up in like the grass. They would try to put the bomb on themselves. I would forcefully push the cocktail in the grass. That way the grass was destroyed, but no property was destroyed. No human beings were destroyed. So I've done that plenty of times back then. I was able to have people throw guns away. They're about to shoot themselves. I would grab the gun and toss it in the trash. I did that plenty of times. And, you know, there were people that were trying to stab themselves. I would yank the knife from them, and we would toss it in the river. Or they would try to set themselves on fire with cigarette matches, cigarette lighters. I would take the matches. I would have like a cup of water on me. Because when they did these things, they were trying to do it in people's homes. And I would grab a water bottle and ruin the fire. I'd be like, nope. I would pour water on the matches. And what we would do was I would just toss the matches down the toilet. I would just flush it down the toilet. And so I saved a lot of people's lives then. I actually ruined suicide attempts. And from what I do remember about that time was for me, I got a lot of verbal thank yous, like a lot of verbal gratitude, verbal contentment, verbal gratefulness, verbal appreciation from those that survived the suicide attempts because of myself and them. But also, you know, I remember at that time, people just paying for me. They would pay for me the rest of my time when I was in the crime world. And these were like innocent bystanders, you know, people that really weren't involved in crime. So at that time, they would just take me out to eat, and they said I never have to pay for anything ever again in life when it comes to being with them. So I do remember that part. When did that start? About the third month of me being in the crime world. Most of them were innocent bystanders who weren't involved in crime. The rest were criminals. And these were the ones that survived, right? All these people. I saw a lot of innocent bystanders and criminals kill themselves. And I saw a lot of criminals and innocent bystanders survive these suicide attempts because of myself and them. That's what I was referring to. I was 5 years old at the time. Okay, then it says, preventing suicide requires strategies at all levels of society. This includes prevention and, you know, I have to read this again, and protective strategies for individuals, families, and communities. So suicide can be prevented by learning the warning signs, promoting prevention and resilience, and committing to social change. The reason why I read that again, because I also wanted to tell you that it reminds me of why I've been placed on Earth. Like, in my childhood, I knew a lot of rape survivors, a lot of domestic violence survivors, so a lot of domestic violence, so a lot of rape, so rape culture, domestic violence culture. I saw a lot of addiction. There were certain people, I saw people doing all kinds of drugs in front of me. Fentanyl was a drug that was sold. I remember, I do remember there was a lot of angel dust back then, a lot of PCP, you know. Super grass, super weed, wacko tobacco, killer joints for the PCP combined with marijuana. I remember a lot of fentanyl, a lot of opioids. A lot of people running around naked and screaming and hollering and acting in erratic behavior. I saw these things in the crime world. I remember rolling up people's joints and blunts for them. I was the master at it. They would have me do it for them because a lot of them didn't know how to do it for themselves. I was 5 years old at the time. And I just remember some people smoke blunts and joints. The weed would be laced with powder cocaine, and sometimes the weed would be laced with crack cocaine. They would combine them, roll it up, and smoke it in joint form or blunt form. And I've seen people smoke marijuana laced with LSD, and I would roll it up for them. I would see people smoke marijuana laced with heroin, and I would roll it up for them. And sadly, that's how some people died and some people survived. Some people had to get rehabilitated in prison and psychiatric hospitals as a result. And from what I remember, I've seen people smoke Woolies, a marijuana cigarette laced with cocaine, and they had me roll it up for them. I've seen people smoke blunts laced with crack. The crack Woolies, as a rapper say that called them. Yeah, I would roll it up for him. Let me see here. I do remember in that kind of world too. I remember, you know, it's true that in the crime world, people do steal tires. People will steal anything. People will bootleg and steal grocery stores, shopping malls, vehicles. It could be home items. It could be your belongings. It could be expensive products. It could be fashion designer clothes. It could be sneakers. It could be food. It could be drinks. It could be snacks. It could be desserts. It could be anything of the Big Willie style. They will steal and bootleg anything and everything and pawn shop it, make money to support their alcohol habit and drug habit. Alcohol addiction, drug addiction, alcoholism, and substance disorder, alcohol use disorder, binge drinking, and just being strung out on drugs. Witnessed that a lot in that world. I was able to stop many people from drinking themselves. Well, I did see a lot of people drug themselves to death, fatal overdoses, speedballing, and mixing weed with other drugs. And I've also seen some people I was able to stop them from lacing weed with other drugs. I after a while, I stopped rolling up for certain people. I just stopped being around certain people because it started to get too much to me. Like, oh my God, there's, you know, more people died and survived when I helped them roll up the weed with other drugs. I was like, I'm just gonna avoid these environments. I had the option to walk away because the people I was around started noticing that was affecting me, so they had me just stop being around them. But I had the kind of rapport on the streets, if you will, that certain people in the streets would just go, oh, okay, this is too much for Antonio, so they just had me stop being around them. and I was never around them again. There were certain people that I was able to stop them from drugging themselves to death and drinking themselves to death by simply giving them affirmations. I didn't know it was affirmations at the time. I just knew that I didn't want them to die, and I was a deeply Christian kid at the time, being five, so that's why I felt the way I felt. And they survived, you know, trying to drug themselves or drink themselves to death, because I actually had them throw away all the drugs and alcohol in the trash. Sometimes I would flush all the drugs and all the alcohol paraphernalia down the toilet for them. I've seen certain people who smoke themselves to death, meaning cigarettes, cigars, and tobacco pipes. And there were other people where I would put the cigarette, cigars, and tobacco pipes in the dumpster and in the trash bins on the sidewalks. I was able to do that. Sometimes I was so finicky, like so scared, I would accidentally put them in the recycle bin, and I thought it was a trash can. So sometimes I was able to successfully reach down and put it in the trash. Other times it was so deep in the recycle bin I couldn't find it, and I felt so dismayed. And from what I remember about that kind of like world that I was in, I do remember taking people's belts, syringes, and needles from them and just trashing them. I would take people's like dollar bills and other snorting cocaine methods and trash them. I would take people's I would take people's crack pipes and throw it in the trash. I would take people's, like if a person was smoking too much weed, I'd be like, all right, clearly weed ain't for them because they doing too much. So I remember tossing blunts and joints of people in the trash. They're using it to deaden the pain, as it's commonly called. I remember taking people's bottles and cups and glasses of alcohol and gallons of alcohol they would have, and like people's bongs and stuff like that, and just tossing in the trash. That's what I remember. I've seen people die of fatal drug overdoses. I've seen people smoke crack pipe themselves to death, shoot themselves up with heroin to death. I'm talking about the needles, the syringes, and the belt the addicts used, and you know, the fire with the spoon. I've seen them do that to death. Other times I was able to take the spoon and dump the fire with water fountain water. I was nearby water fountain. I remember just taking, like, I had a little like you know, that medicine cup on the top of the medicine. There's this little like small little jar, and I remember taking that and just dumping it repeatedly with water. I've seen people snort themselves with cocaine to death with dollar bills and other snorting cocaine methods. I've seen people PCP themselves to death, angel dust themselves to death. Other times I was able to destroy all the PCP methods, angel dust methods, and PCP angel dust. I would just trash it. Other times I remember seeing people crystal meth themselves to death. Other times I was able to destroy the crystal meth, take it away from them, and trash it. I remember, I've seen people fentanyl themselves to death. Other times I would flush the fentanyl down the toilet. I know what it's like when rappers talk about flushing drugs down the toilet. I've done that countless times. I was trying my best to stop people from being addicted to drugs and alcohol. Other times, I remember I've seen people opioid themselves to death. Other times, I would flush the opioid down the toilet. Every drug you think of, I flushed it down the toilet. And every drug you think of, I've seen people kill themselves with these drugs. And I remember, like, you know, being in that world. And from what I recall, like, you want to know, the wealthiest people in the crime world were the women brothel workers, the women engaged in street prostitution. They were the wealthiest because they had more street clientele, in quotations, than any other criminals. They had the most money, the most riches, and they had the most customers, the most consumers in the crime world. They were the flashiest. They were the most big willy style, living large types. That was their thing. They lived in the most mansions, the most McMansions, the most palaces, the most castles. Because not only were they women engaging in street prostitution, they were the biggest pimps, the biggest madams, the biggest panders, biggest procurers, and the biggest brothel keepers. I mean, they made the most dollars and the most coins. And they were the most braggadocious of their materialism. They had the flashiest cars, the flashiest jewelries, the flashiest clothing that I've ever seen. They would wear Beverly Hills type clothes. They would wear Georgetown and DC type clothes. I mean, they'd wear the kind of clothes that only The type of flashy gear that queen pins wear, they wore that, but they were flashier than the queen pins. The second living large people were the queen pins. The women criminals were the wealthiest I've ever seen in that world. I mean, their treasure chests and their bank accounts, they showed me their actual accounts. I said, oh my. I mean, millions. I knew there were very few criminals that had billions of dollars. And they were the women. The men used to be the wealthiest, the flashiest, the most braggadocious of their living large life. But when the women took over organized crime, the women, yeah. The men, I mean, I feel like being in that world too, I remember sometimes the women, like the wealthiest women criminals I'm telling about, sometimes they would have me dress like a living large type of person. Because if they were the type, they didn't like most people. Most people didn't like them, but you couldn't show that you didn't like them because you were afraid that you were going to be cast off from the face of the earth. The only person they ever liked was me. They disliked everybody else. The only person they were ever nice to was me. They were rude to everybody else. And you could also argue they were rude and disrespectful to me because, you know, child abuse in terms of having me around them and trying to ingratiate me into illegal living large. But in terms of their behavior, I was the only person they were nice to. I was the only person that they actually liked. I was the only person they always spoke highly of. They would speak lowly of everybody else. And now you fully understand where I'm truly coming from. And one more thing before I get back to talking about other dude's responsibilities. I do remember being in the crime world. And I just remember I remember saving a lot of people from domestic violence and witnessing a lot of domestic violence. I remember seeing a lot of rape and preventing a lot of rape. All the people that I saved treated me like royalty all the time. Compliments, paying for us to go eat, that type of thing. I had to go to a lot of funerals first being the crime world because of that. The men were the most violent, harsh, murderous, fearsome, physically opposed, physically strong. When the women took over, the women became all those things. And I say that, you already heard me say that, here's the new reason why I say that. The women gave and successfully executed the most death threats, the most violent threats than the men did. It used to be the men who did those things. When the women took over, the women did those things. Okay, and I'm gonna tell you this. In terms of that world of drugs, I remember seeing people, honestly, I've seen drug dealers have sex with their customers. The ones that were addicts and the ones that every now and then went to use drugs. And if the customer couldn't pay, some drug dealers were like, okay, you have to share your body with me so I can cough up the narcotics. And that's what happened. I saw that often when I first started in the crime world. You would see lines wrapped around blocks for drugs and alcohol and tobacco. I remember they had me sell all forms of birth control illegally. And people would purchase all forms of birth control legally from me. And the lines wrapped around drugs, I remember. People would usually pay with dollars. Some drug dealers didn't like coins. Some didn't care and took coins. Some drug dealers wanted dollars and coins. So that's how the customers paid. Other drug dealers like, just give me dollars. And that's how those customers paid. And last thing about drugs, I really get to do the responsibilities for other things I gotta be doing. I just also remember a lot of seeing a lot of interventions of drugs and alcohol succeed, and seeing a lot of drugs and alcohol interventions fail. I've seen families do these things. I've seen people lose it all because of their addictions. I mean, when I say lose it all, everything. They live lonely lives because they were banished from their communities. I've seen the enabling, coddling, and codependency on drugs and alcohol, too. I've seen functioning addicts and non-functioning addicts. People that were able to keep their looks up. And I've also seen people that people's looks start deteriorating because of their addictions. Now, I'm going to get back to the rest of my duties and responsibilities. So getting back to suicide prevention. So beyond direct interventions to stop an impending suicide, methods may include, so I'll assist in treating mental illness. I'll help improving coping strategies of people who are at risk. I'll be help reducing risk factors for suicide, such as substance misuse, poverty, or social vulnerability. I'll be helping giving people hope for a better life after current problems are resolved. I'll be definitely calling suicide hotline numbers. I'll be using lethal means reduction, like helping out suicide prevention fences. Means reduction, reducing the odds that a person tips suicide with highly lethal means is an important component of suicide prevention. This practice is also called means restriction. I'll be doing these things. It has been demonstrated that restricting lethal means can help reduce suicide rates, as delaying action until the desire to die has passed. The general strong evidence supports the effectiveness of means restriction in preventing suicides. There's also strong evidence that restricted access at so-called suicide hotspots, such as bridges and cliffs, reduces suicides, whereas other interventions, such as placing signs or increasing surveillance at these sites, appears less effective. So I'll be doing all these things. I'll be restricting firearm access. I'll be restricting, like, coal gas, and I'll be restricting poisoning by gas inhalation. I'll be restricting carbon monoxide poisoning. I'll be limiting restrictions on weapons. Crisis hotlines, absolutely. I'll be using those. I'll be helping people improve their diet, because diet deterioration is how some people are able to kill themselves. And I'll be doing social interventions. I'll be promoting community-based suicide prevention programs. I'll be doing screening and reducing at-risk behavior through psychological resilience programs that promotes optimism and connectedness. I'll be doing the education about suicide, including risk factors, warning signs, stigma-related issues, and the availability of help through social campaigns. I'll be developing groups led by professionally trained individuals for broad-based support for suicide prevention. I'll be reducing domestic violence, rape, and substance abuse through legal and empowerment means are long-term strategies. I'll be reducing access to convenient means of suicide, in quotations, and methods of self-harm, for example, toxic substances, poisons, handguns, etc. I'll be increasing the proficiency of health and welfare services at responding to people in need, example, sponsored training for helping professionals, increase access to community linkages, employing crisis counseling organizations. I'll be reducing the quality of doses supplied in packages of non-prescription medicines, example, aspirin. I'll be using school-based competency promoting and skills enhancing programs. I'll be doing interventions and usage of ethical surveillance systems targeted at high-risk groups. I'll be improving reporting and portrayals of negative behaviors, such as suicidal behavior, mental illness, and substance abuse in the entertainment and news media. I'll be doing research on protective factors and development of effective clinical and professional practices. I'll be making sure there's wise use of medication instead of medication addiction. And I'll be helping with coping planning, with counseling, with effective strategies. You know, I'll be doing like motivating self-care activities like physical exercises, meditative relaxation, therapeutic recreational therapy that improves mood, registering with support groups like Alcoholics Anonymous, suicide, bereavement support groups, a religious group with flow rituals, etc., secular groups too. By the way, I'll have to go to AA meetings and, you know, Addicts Anonymous type meetings, those type of things too. Person-centered life skills training example, problem-solving, creating using crisis cards, an easy-to-read uncluttered card that describes a list of activities one should follow in crisis until the positive behavior response settles in the personality, restricting access, lethality of suicide means through policies and laws, crisis intervention, structured counseling, psychotherapy, hospitalization for those with low adherence to collaboration for help and those who require monitoring secondary symptom treatment, supportive therapy like substance abuse treatment, psychotropic medication, family psychoeducation, access to emergency phone call care with emergency rooms, suicide prevention hotlines, etc. So here are the strategies I'll use to prevent suicide. Strengthen economic support, strengthen household financial security, housing stabilization policies, strengthen access to and delivery of suicide care, coverage of mental health conditions and health insurance policies, reduce provider shortages in undeserved areas, safer suicide care through system change, create protective environments, reduce access to lethal means among persons at risk for suicide, organizational policies and culture, community-based policies to reduce excessive alcohol use, promote connectedness, peer norm programs, community engagement activities, teach coping and problem-solving skills, social-emotional learning programs, parenting skill and family relationship programs, identify and support people at risk, gatekeeper training, crisis intervention, treatment for people at risk of suicide, treatment to prevent reattempts, lessen harms, prevent future risk, postvention, safe reporting and messaging about suicide. I'll also be doing suicide interventions. Suicide intervention is a direct effort to prevent a person or persons from attempting to take their own life or lives intentionally. Asking direct questions is a recommended first step in intervention. These questions may include asking about whether a person is having thoughts of suicide, if they have thought about how they would do it, if they have access to the means to carry out their plan, if they have a time frame in mind. Asking these questions builds connection, a key protective factor in preventing suicide. These questions also enable all parties to establish a better understanding of risk. Research shows that asking direct questions about suicide does not increase suicidal ideation and may decrease it. So I'll be doing a lot of suicide interventions. I will be a recovery... I'm going to definitely be a certified recovery specialist in rehabilitation centers and recovery centers. So I'll be assisting. I'll be assisting in these ways. So my role will be to support others in recovery from a substance use disorder, alcohol use disorder, gambling addiction, food addiction, nicotine addiction, sexual compulsory behaviors and sexual impulsivity. I will serve as a role model, mentor, advocate, and motivator to recovering individuals in order to help prevent relapse and promote long-term recovery. I will demonstrate an ability to share personal recovery experiences and I'll develop authentic peer-to-peer relationships. I'll engage the individual and establish rapport as evidenced by empathetic and active listening, communicating in a non-judgmental way, recognizing addictive, compulsory, and impulsive behaviors. I'll be assisting individuals to identify and prioritize strengths and needs using various techniques that engage individuals to self-disclose. I'll assist in the development and enhancement of individuals' comprehensive individualized recovery plan, recognizing many pathways to recovery, assessing, advocating for recovery and community resources. The goal should be to transition from professionally assisted recovery initiation to personally directed community supported recovery maintenance. I'll be identifying emergency or crisis situations and facilitate access to appropriate resources, negotiating, connecting individuals and resources, and navigating the systems. I'll be actively identifying support linkages to community resources, communities of recovery, educational, vocational, social, cultural, spiritual resources, mutual self-help groups, professional services, etc. that support the recovering person's goals and interests. This will, for me, involve a collaborative effort, including the recovering person, agency staff, and other relevant stakeholders. I'll be conducting myself in an ethical manner by adhering to the codes of ethics, standards of practice, and counsel policies and procedures. I'll be maintaining confidentiality regarding information received during the facilitation of recovery support services, maintain current understandings of federal, state, local confidentiality rules and regulations. I'll be engaging in continuing professional development relative to recovery support services, applying practical and professional knowledge and experiences, maintain CRS credentials. I'll be maintaining project logs, reports, and records and appropriate files and databases. I'll be providing recovery education to service recipients for every phase of the recovery journey, from pre-recovery engagement, recovery initiation, recovery stabilization, sustained recovery maintenance. I'll be educating individual families and communities about the disease of addiction, the recovery process, recovery resources, and the stronghold of both impulsivity and compulsivity. I'll be promoting self-advocacy by assisting recovering persons to have their voices fully heard, their needs and goals and objectives established as the focal point of rehabilitation and clinical services. I'll be developing relationships with community groups / agencies in partnership with others in the agency. I'll be working with staff and other community professionals to implement and promote recovery oriented training programs and opportunities. Other duties as directed by executive directors / your management staff. And I'll be addressing all forms of injustices in all industries. And lastly, I'll be doing politician type work. I'll be working with presidents, members of Congress, senators, prime ministers, ministers, speakers, members of parliaments, governors, lieutenant governors, chief ministers, premiers, mayors, counselors, and royal families. So we will be together, we'll be doing leadership, critical thinking, public speaking, lawmaking, legislating, decision making, public influence, budgeting, public relations, statesmanship, and doing the grassroots movement work. And for those that don't know what that is, I'll tell you. So basically, it's like meeting up with constituents and legislating their needs and legislating their wants too. And I'll be doing lobbying type work. I'll be a lobbyist advocating for the constituents. I can see myself doing these type of roles. And then I feel like I can see myself doing community organizing, community development type work too. That's definitely me. I'm a grassroots kind of person. And last thing I want to say is that I do look forward to doing servant leadership, social entrepreneurship type of work, resolving the ills of the world through business. and resolving the ills of the world by doing appropriate free labor when I absolutely need to.